Have you ever been reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to Scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology. What is up, my peoples? How is everybody doing today? I hope your Monday is going so great. So great that you're just like, man, it feels like a Friday, but it's a Monday. Things have been going so great around the Lentini house. A lot of you guys have been praying. I put it up on here on YouTube. You know, it's we're still dealing with the new diagnosis for one of our sons with diabetes, type 1. And anytime he's sick, it just freaks me out. We've already had a rough week, but you know what? He was just tired. Little turd. Messing with my emotions. You know, he's tired. He gets to be tired. But like that's one of the worst things about my kids and like any one of them having diabetes is that my kids, when they get tired, let me know, parents. Are you like this? Let me know in the chat. Like if your kids are like this. Whenever my kids are tired, immediately they're sick. Like, not sick, but you know what I mean. And it's just, why? Why is this happening? And then you mix that with diabetes, where if something like that happens, it's a big deal because it takes a lot out of your body to do that. And it freaks me out. And it was already a tough week, but you know what? God is good. Thank you for all your prayers. We are here on a Monday. He's upstairs. He's having the time of his life, having a little rest from school today, just trying to get things normalized and whatnot. So we bought Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. So it's been on repeat here in the house. But you're not here for that. Maybe some of you guys are. Some of you guys, you know, the hardcore ones, you guys are here for that stuff. You're just like, yeah, tell me all about it. Right into my chin. There we go. This is too far. All right, right there. Sweet spot. Some of you guys are just like, yeah, tell me all about that kind of stuff. Some of you guys are like, get to the point, Dean. Today, I'm going to try my best to stay on target. We're going to try to talk about the G3 stuff. We're taking a little break from the Christendom 2.0, guys. But let me just paint the picture, okay? Because right now, we are seeing an interesting development. Last year, I did a stream where I was talking about G3, and just wait, in a couple years, you're going to see Doug Wilson on stage at, you know, the G3 conference. And I was wrong. I was dead wrong about that one. I am not, you know, some people think like, oh, Dean's too prideful to admit he was wrong. No, I'll admit when I'm wrong. And I have been proven wrong because the line in the sand has been drawn between G3 and Moscow for everyone attached to Doug Wilson. First off, those guys need to come. Words are hard. I guess I focus on going like to the Zoom. One of those days. I don't know. Take me off of the Zoom. Take me off of the Zoom. We're not doing the Zoom to make a point today. We're just not going to do that. They need to come up with a freaking name is where I was going to go with that. Like, because we got G3. And then it's like, it's Moscow, it's Doug Wilson, it's Christendom 2.0, it's Joel Webbin, it's, you know, all those guys, you know, like, just come up with a name. You know, like, you want to be like, oh, we're Christian nationalists. Okay, are you going to fit in with all the other ones? Because apparently there are different shades and you guys get really upset about, you know, me talking about Christian nationalists as if you are all like one monolithic thing. So you guys need to come up with your own camps, come up with your own names so we know how to reference you. All right. So that's my appeal to you. I know some of you guys watch this stuff. So come up with a name, do some marketing, You know, if you need a logo, don't come knocking at my door. But you can go. I'm sure the Canon Press guy who's just killing it again. I want to have a conversation with that guy and just like sway him away from the Moscow camp, because that guy just comes up with the greatest designs. And I feel like that whole thing with the infrastructure would just fall apart if it wasn't for his awesome marketing skills. That being said, you know, they need to make a logo and make a name so we can know how to distinguish these guys. But the line has been drawn. I'm really staying on target today. It's going to be a more laid back stream, even than more than usual today, because I just didn't have the time to do all the stuff about Joe Boot. And I want to talk about this line in the sand. So I talked about last year, Doug Wilson was going to come over to the G3 conference to speak there. And Josh Bice was mad at me. You guys remember that? Josh Bice, you know, hopping into the comments under the banner of G3 Ministries. We all know it was Josh. But he later said that it was. But like he's upset because he's like, no, it's just not going to happen. But at the time, we saw some shaking of hands that were going on. You know, they were all concerned about the wokeness, you know. We'll try the Zoom for effect. The wokeness that's all over the place. They were all concerned about that and CRT and all the different things that, you know, 2021, you know, everyone was concerned about and everyone's kind of forgotten about. Like all that stuff. They were shaking hands over that and saying like, oh, we're going to fight together. And we saw like Kosti Hen call out, you know, the sovereign nation guy. Michael O'Fallon, he called him out and then had to, you know, say sorry online. He didn't have to. He chose to and had the phone call with Doug Wilson. It seemed like, oh, no, like this is it. This is like the handshake right now. They just got Kosti Hen's approval. Like this is going to be a thing. And apparently it's not. And it's over this topic of Christian nationalism. And I know that I've been super harsh on G3 Ministries, and I stand by everything I've said. You hear me? Do it again. I stand by it all. Like, you know, I might have been wrong about Doug Wilson going and being on the stage there, but they're like, it's not because of the things that we were talking about at the time. If it was those things, pretty sure he would be. But it's about this Christian nationalism stuff, and all of a sudden, they're having, you know, some harsh words toward each other. And there's some feathers being ruffled and everybody's upset at each other between these two camps. And all of us are just sitting back and just being like, hey, 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 you know, like just what's going on here? What's going on here? Where'd all my sound effects go? They're just gone. They're not in that one. What is this? This is nothing. Yeah, we're going to die. But we're sitting back and just being like, okay, I guess this is how it is now. You know, like this, they're just going to fight and doesn't really affect us all too much. So we're just kind of watching. Well, one, I think it's good when someone who even you disagree with, and obviously, like I said, I have a lot of disagreements with G3 Ministries. I think they're a bunch of fundamentalists, like a bunch of them. They're just a bunch of fundamentalists, a bunch of fundies over there. And, you know, at the same time, they believe the gospel. They preach the gospel. They have some other things I disagree with. And I'm harsh toward them. But when they do something good, I want to applaud that. I don't want to be the channel that's just always bashing people. You know, maybe we're going to poke fun at G3 today. Okay. There were way too many hilarious things. One disastrous thing that we talked about on Friday when it was happening with like the bomb scare and everything. That's nuts and scary and glad, you know, it was just one guy, but like, dang, that's nuts. But we're going to poke fun at G3 today because there's just a bunch of funny stuff that I saw while I was kind of just, you know, I put it on when I was like doing dishes and, you know, walking around and driving around and just had it on. And there were some really funny moments. One that's just, oh, it's just going to knock you over. You're going to laugh your head off about it. Or at least I did. Yeah, my oldest did too. He heard it and we both were laughing really, really hard. So I'll show you all that stuff. We'll poke fun at him. But also I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for G3 actually standing up for principles. It's not a high bar, but they met it. And I want to say that I appreciate it. I appreciate it when people are willing to put their nose out, you know, like to stick their head out a little bit and, you know, something's going to hit that nose. And that's what's happening right now, because all of these Moscow people who, let's be fair, there's a lot of money there. You know, if G3 is really trying, we'll talk about that. they're trying to make some bank off of what they've been doing over there in Atlanta. And there's a lot of money in Moscow. There's a lot of money in that world. And they just alienated these guys. And they did it, I believe, based out of principle. And I think that's worthwhile. I think that is a good decision to not want to be united with these people, because it's not just Christian nationalism. That's the problem. Now, I don't know if G3 would go that far. I think a lot of these guys, if you were to sit down and have a conversation with them, like they'll be letting you know all this kind of stuff. They'll be saying like, hey, this guy's wrong on that and he's wrong on that. But right now, it's all under the banner of Christian nationalism. How dare you, Winsome Pickett? I see you. You don't think I'm watching the chat? I'm watching the chat. It will be evening before he begins the podcast. Well, you know what? Fine. All right. It's been 15 minutes. We could show you some stuff, I guess. All right. So everything is really coming down to Owen Strand. Owen Strand, I don't know if he just got like nominated, if it was like he just drew the shortest straw, which probably wouldn't be too hard for him. I'm just saying. But like maybe it's that he drew, like, in Survivor terms, he drew the white rock. Maybe it's something like that. And or maybe it's just that he has, you know, this fire in him that he wants to go at these guys. And he has been. Him and Costi did make that podcast, and it seemed to like be like, okay, even though Costi did the picture, did the apology, went public with like being like, hey, we're cool with Doug Wilson, I think now he's kind of changed his mind. It's probably too late for him to turn back publicly. I don't have any inside knowledge on that. I'm just guessing. Costi seems like a stand-up guy. Disagree with a lot of what he has to say, but especially when it comes to gender and, you know, a lot of the things that we typically talk about on this podcast. But him and Owen did go at them a little bit. And I think it's interesting that Owen Strand is the guy who's coming out and being like, no, we're not going to take it anymore. I guess I don't know who this Owen guy is. Owen Strand was a professor at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. And I have my sneaking suspicions about why he left. He has some interesting views on the eternal subordination of the Son, a very complicated doctrine, the relationship between the Trinity. And Owen's wrong on that. He just is. Now, there are people who say that he is he's outside the faith because of his views. And I'm noticing that those people got real loud this week. All of a sudden, they've never made a video about it before, but now they're making videos. I'm looking at you, John Harris, Conversations That Matter. It didn't matter a year ago, but all of a sudden it matters now that Owen Strand has this view. I see what you're doing. I see what a lot of people are doing online. They're trying to bash Owen Strand, take him out, and be like, well, no one should listen to him because of this. Well, one, a lot of your theologians do think that. So there's that. But also, Owen Strand has had that kind of problematic language that he uses. Now, when he dials in his views, I don't think that he is outside the faith. I would call him a brother. But that being said, he's wrong and it's dumb, and he needs to stop that language about the eternal subordination of the Son. We'll probably do a stream about that at some point, like getting into the nitty-gritties about that. So he started his own seminary in Conway, Arkansas. A lot of people call it Street Mall Seminary. So he started that. He's got like James White and some people that you might recognize from online stuff. But he's written some books. I don't know if he's written a good one. I don't know. I'm getting mean. All right, let's just watch this thing. That's who he is. He's done a lot of speaking at G3 and pretty much everywhere.
God does not love a merely white church in America. God loves a global people of all backgrounds and tribes. This is under fire today from different corners, but we confess it and will stand here come what may. God loves the global body of Christ.
Now, if you're watching this and being like, well, who the heck would have a problem with that? Exactly. It is insane what some of these people out there in Moscow and the people who love Doug Wilson are willing to say because they don't like, you know, using, you know, language like calling something white, you know, or talking about race pretty much at all makes you woke. And so a lot of people, as soon as Owen Strand made this, also G3 didn't do him any huge favors by putting it out. I think they knew what they were doing. They were sending a message to the Moscow people. But like they started sharing it and being like, oh, Owen Strand is so woke. It's just, that's so ridiculous. Do you guys realize that? That's so ridiculous. Like, that's when you know that this word has lost every ounce of meaning that it ever did have, if it did. Like, if I'm woke and Owen Strand is woke, like, it's just like, this word doesn't matter. Like, it's just not a word. It's not, you could use it, but it's lost all its meaning. Because what Owen Strand said here is nothing that's debatable. Like, Jesus loves his church. His whole goal is to bring people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation under the banner and leadership of Christ. Like, how is this wrong in any way other than he really didn't need to put like the stipulation that God loves the global Church of Christ? He could have just said God loves the world because that's what the Bible says. Like, it's pretty simple stuff, but apparently for these guys over in Moscow, this is like, oh, I can't believe it. Clutch your pearls. Like, oh, how dare he? I can't believe he would do this.
I steadfastly refuse.
And, you know, some of the fanboys are just freaking out in the back going,
catastrophic!
They're just so mad right now. This is why. Because Owen Strand said that God loves everybody and he isn't reliant on the white North American church, that God is at work in the whole world, and that he loves his bride, no matter what shade they are of their skin. It's just nuts that this is being debated. And, you know, for people who are like, don't call us racists. You know, I got a lot of that this week because I talked about that John Harris clip and talking about one of the main guys for Christian nationalism, Stephen Wolf, who they're going to talk about here in just a minute. You know, I talked about that and I got a lot of people being like, don't you call us racist? It's just that it kind of sounds like it, but it's not. It's different. Like, it's more nuanced. It's just like, all right, if you don't want people to call you racist, then maybe stop saying stuff like this is wrong. Like, maybe stop getting so upset about one of the most basic ideas in the Bible, that God is bringing all people to himself, all kinds of people. Like, it's, and he's not reliant on a certain culture or a certain ethnicity in order to accomplish his goals. Like, this is pretty basic stuff. So if you don't want to be called racist, maybe stop fighting against the basics. But they don't want to do that. Instead, we get some interesting conversations.
I ask you specifically, though.
Let me set this up. Okay, so this is, I guess, like, I don't know, like a side attraction. You know, if you've been to a concert, which none of the people here at G3 have, but if you go to a concert, you have like the main stage, right? Like, you go to a fest or something, and you got the main stage, and then you got like the side stages. And there's like some, you know, lower tier entertainment going on there, right? Maybe in between stuff and whatnot. That's what this is. This is like a little pop-up little show that they put on for people awkwardly walking along and being like, is that who I think it is? You know, should I take a picture? Is it weird to take a picture? But this is that. Now, on the right is John Root. And this guy is just a conundrum to me. I don't know a whole lot about him, but the things I do know confuse me a lot. Because one minute, it's sounding like he is in the John MacArthur camp. And he is just like, you know, Owen Strand. And then he seems to be far more into like the Doug Wilson stuff online than people might think. Now, I'm not saying he's been, you know, selling out for Doug Wilson. I'm just saying lines of thinking. So he goes by like anti-woke sports guy or something like that. Yeah, and TPUSA, thanks, Channelly. The TPUSA faith guy. Yeah, he does a lot of stuff, and he's pretty confusing on like where he actually stands on things. But, you know, he's there, and he's there with Erin Coates, who's the wife of what's his name? The guy who was arrested here in Canada in Edmonton. I'm forgetting his first name, Coates, Pastor Coates. and then you got Owen Strand there. So you got three of your, you know, I don't know, B-level celebrities of the G3 movement, and they're having a conversation. And it's interesting where John Root goes with this.
I ask you specifically, though, would you believe that Stephen Wolf is pushing kinism?
Stephen Wolf's ideas lay the groundwork for a kinist view, and what Stephen Wolf has said publicly is definitely kinist. Now, he's taken back one of his statements, apparently in some form. He said that inter-ethnic...
I think it was on Twitter. Huh? Yeah, I think it was on Twitter.
He said inter-ethnic marriage was relatively sinful, and on a podcast, he sort of walked that back. But if you look at other statements of Stephen Wolf, he said that ethnicities have a duty to preserve themselves, paraphrasing. And there's no biblical duty to preserve your ethnicity. That doesn't mean that we embrace unbounded globalist woke immigration policies in our nations. No. Immigration has to be done carefully. I'm a thoroughgoing conservative, though Wolf and others despise the term conservatism. I am a conservative, so I believe in carefully done immigration policies. But that doesn't mean that the Bible teaches that it is a moral good to preserve my ethnicity or my whiteness or what have you. There is no biblical teaching along those lines. The Bible goes the opposite way. The Bible teaches us that it is a beautiful thing that Christ is calling people together from every tribe, tongue, and nation, people group on earth. That's the direction of the gospel. That doesn't mean that every church is going to be the same level of diversity represented in it, or that we have to try to mangle our churches so that they're all equally diverse. No, you have to be where you are. But fundamentally, it is not a biblically taught moral duty. It is not a moral good for me to preserve my ethnicity. And inter-ethnic marriage in Scripture is a beautiful reality. It's a picture of the gospel.
I will say, like everyone says, everything is a picture of the gospel. Not necessarily true. But things that shouldn't have to be said for 10,000, Alex. Like this is just so weird that these are the conversations that are being had. And I mean, where are we right now? Are we in like the Civil War era? Like that we're having these kinds of conversations, that these are the lines that people are dividing over? We're dividing over like basic things, like whether, you know, a white person can marry a black person, like interracial marriage. That's what's being discussed right now in theological circles. Like, what is this, 1875? Like, it's what is going on right now?
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
So, like, what he said is good. like, because Stephen Wolfe is a Kennist. Now, if you're like, what is Kennism? It's basically the idea that races shouldn't, you know, I know some people don't even like the idea of there being races. Whatever. It's a common word that people use. So different ethnicities that they can't, they shouldn't marry one another and mix, that we should preserve our races. Obviously, as you hear that and you hear preserve and race in the same sentence, you're like, racism. Yeah, that's because you're right. Like, it just is that way. And it's like, here we have Owen basically being like, hey, he said that. He said that, you know, it's like generally sinful, I think was the term, generally sinful for interracial marriage. Now, he talks about stepping that thing back a little bit. Well, that's the podcast that we were talking about last week. So you go and watch my video about that if you haven't seen it already. It's the one with all the fire. And like, he didn't walk it back. He didn't walk it back at all. He just said more stuff and then blew his pipe. Like, that's it. That's what he did. Like, the conversation didn't matter. The conversation was awful about this idea of like, oh yeah, we're not Kennis. We're definitely not Kennis. And while they deny the term, that doesn't mean that they're not one, right? Like, this is the same thing. All right. Same thing with heretics. All right. Everyone is going to say, of course I'm not a heretic. Of course I'm not. And like, you have a conversation with them and you say, do you reject the gospel? And they're like, no, we don't reject the gospel. Are you for the gospel? You put it in like a positive term. And you give, like, when I say the gospel, I'm talking about like tenets of the gospel, different doctrinal facts. All right. You're saying like, are you for fill in the blank, this issue that they're being accused of? Well, of course they're going to say, yes, I am. T.D. Jakes will say, yes, I am. And then you get into conversations about the Trinity and you're like, oh, you don't believe the Trinity. Like, that's how heretics work. It's not just like, will you give your stamp of approval to orthodoxy? Now you're orthodox, right? You got to get into the conversation. And these guys, when they get into the conversation, even though they'll deny being Kennis and they'll deny being racist, when you get into the conversation, you find out, oh, they are Kennis. Oh, they are racist. Oh, they do want like this preservation of their culture. Not necessarily their color of their skin, but their culture, which is their ethnicity. It's the same thing. Like, we've said it time and time again here on the show. It's the same dang thing. And they keep on doing it. And so, like, it's time for us to start looking at these guys and just being like, you're nuts. You're crazy. Go live out in the wilderness until you learn how to actually have conversations and how to have real thoughts. And you can come back in and we can have those conversations once you've corrected yourself, because this is nuts. And I'm so glad that G3 is actually doing that. Now, it is ridiculous that it took this to do it. I will say that. Like, I know, like, some people will be like, oh, there's just no winning with you, Dean. There's no winning with you. How dare you be like, you know, when they do a good thing, tell them, why'd it take them so long? Well, I don't care. I'll ask you. Why'd it take you so long? Like, why was this the thing? Well, like, there were like 1,000 red flags before this moment where it's just like, oh, the obvious, yes, we need to move on from these people. And you just didn't do it. You didn't do it. And you wanted to entertain it, and you took the pictures, and you put things on Twitter, and you'll go and speak at their conferences, but you won't have them come and speak at yours. This is what they're doing. So I am glad, though, that G3 has finally done something. And we did get a couple statements. I want to give them credit for those. You know, those blog posts that they wrote this year, there was like 4 or 5 of them where they went into detail about why Christian nationalism was wrong. I appreciate that. But I do appreciate that there's at least somebody who is saying it from a platform. Because you could write blog posts. Well, let's be honest. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about blog posts. We care about video. We care about audio. We care about, you know, what did that person say at the big event? And I'm glad that Owen Strand said something at the big event. That he was there to say, this is where we're at. And we're not going to be these people. And I wish that Josh Bice would have said something. I wish that some of these other guys would have said something a little bit more clear. but I am glad that at least one of them was doing it. So that's what happened at G3. Now you're going to see some stuff. We're going to have some stuff like this already. You know, Mr. Moscow Man is already upset. You know, I am pleased to announce that Owen Strand must have had somebody in mind. Inquiries are being made as to who that might have been. And I had some random dude, William Kelly, will there be concern? A considerable amount of concern. So they're making fun of Owen Strand because of the way that he's talked about things, because he was trying to be like the nice guy and, you know, trying to put things, also trying not to anger too much people, too many people out of just like no need for it. But they're going to fight. That's what's going on. So there isn't a handshaking that's happening with G3 and Doug Wilson anymore. Now the lines have been drawn, and here's the thing. You're going to see the Christendom 2.0 guys just go rabid. Like they're going to say all the things out loud. You're about to see over the next year, you're going to see them fight for their lives with what they got, and what they have are extreme views. That's the differentiation between them and G3. Like there's also a considerable amount of doctrine, but they're not going to talk about those things because that's not going to get them the clicks and that's not going to separate them enough. But what they're going to do is they're going to come out with the hottest takes that they have, and you're going to see it all over the place. All right. You're going to see Eric Kahn tweet even more garbage. You're going to see Joel Webbin have conversations with like just the oddest people. You're going to see Doug Wilson make all the videos he can from sitting in that chair and reading his blog posts. Like, I'm sitting in a chair and talking into a microphone to you, but I don't read my blog posts, okay? One, no one would read them if I had blog posts, but also it's just boring. But you're going to see all the hot takes because they're going to come out and they're going to try to survive because G3 is bearing down on them. The thing about it is that G3 is so much bigger. So much bigger than the Moscow camp. You know, the Moscow camp, they went to the Creation Museum, right? Like they went to the Ark. They had their Mecca and all their tribe of fundies. They went to the Ark and they worshiped together and they had their conference, and it was so small. G3 is much bigger, and they know that. They know that G3 can squash them. And so that's why they've been trying so hard to try up until this point to get along with G3, to try to be like, no, we're like you. We're like you in a lot of ways. But now that the lines have been drawn, and it's pretty obvious that Josh Bice and the G3 guys, they're not going to go with them. You're about to see them just go haywire. Like they're just going to come out with all those hottest takes because they want to survive off of extremists. Like, because they can't get the G3 guys. And if they go too far in that direction, looking for the G3 audience, they know that G3 is going to come out and be like, well, put their foot down again and be like, nope, we're not you. We denounce you guys. And you know, they're going to caution their viewers, their watchers, their subscribers, their G3 plus members. We'll talk about that here in a sec. But they're going to caution all their fan base to be away from these people, which is a good thing, but that they don't want to die. Moscow doesn't want to die. They want to continue growing online. So you're going to see the hot takes. That's my call, or that's my prediction. Like, you're just going to see all the hottest takes this next year, and that's how they're going to try to survive after G3 is basically saying, no, not here. You guys aren't welcome. Now, we'll see whether that will keep. You know, maybe they backtrack. Maybe, you know, there's a phone call and all of a sudden, oh, we mean the same things. You know, that could always happen. We could have a Costi Hen moment. But right now it looks like there's a big division between these two, and it's over this one issue of Christian nationalism, not about all the other things that it should have been. But it's on that one topic of Christian nationalism. And you're going to see all these guys over on the Moscow side, the more extreme side, come out with those extreme takes and say just the craziest stuff, because that's how they're going to grow, is by getting the really extreme guys. If they can't get the G3, you know, average pew sitting guy, they're going to get the guy that's crazy, that's in the row behind him. Like that's what they're going to go for. And so they're going to try to draw those people in. Now, let's talk about some other stuff. But before we do, I want to just hop into the chat and see how you guys are doing. The Ark Encounter thing is like second week of October, I think. Oh, it hasn't happened yet? Oh, okay. I thought that they already went. I don't know. I don't pay attention. Like, I just saw the picture and I was like, of course. Also, Ken Ham is an interesting link. Ken Ham? he spoke. I forgot to get a recording of that. But he spoke at G3, where he basically for like 15 minutes just sold stuff. Like it was odd. Like I couldn't imagine like sitting there having paid so much money to listen to speakers and just for 15 minutes just get sold books and curriculum. Like during like the main session, it wasn't like, all right, I'm going to have some books in the back or after, you know, I'll pray and then we'll have some stuff. It was like a part of his, it wasn't a sermon, just part of his lecture was like selling all their stuff and talking about prices and discounts and things. And it's just like, it was really weird. But he spoke at G3 and he's also obviously like the main guy for the Creation Museum and the Ark. And so very interesting to see him be that link between the two. You know, the missing link, I guess. But yeah, apparently that's not going to be until the second week of October, Kat says. David says, Dr. Eric Mason is a great resource on the topic of race and Christianity. Baylor Seminary also did an entire summit on it. Yeah, I will say I don't like Eric Mason's hermeneutics. I like where he gets to. Like, I've said this before, and someone will probably clip this one out. But Woke Church, I did a review for Moody back in the day. When that first came out, and I said, like, I like where he concluded. I just didn't like the means he took to get there. I don't think that he said things that were all that like extreme. Like people talk about Woke Church, and I kind of doubt whether they ever read it. But like the way that he got to places in certain texts as a conservative Baptist with a very staunch hermeneutical approach, I was like, that's not what that verse means. But the conclusions that he came out with, I think were actually pretty sound. And that's what I said in my review. I stand by it. I think it's actually a pretty decent book. Gasp. I confess I live in a white world. I am currently waking up looking for people to follow who will help me. Interesting, interesting. Charles Lowry is here and says, extreme views get attention and sells. Yes, they do. You get a lot of people. With extreme views, as we've seen time and time again. RJ says, I heard Ken Ham in person one time. He assumed an extremely close family friend was not saved until he named his kids biblical names. What? That's so weird. How does going to this conference help anybody except making the speaker and conference organizers more wealthy? Well, there's nothing wrong with conferences. There's nothing wrong with conferences. You know, it depends on how much it is. Just as a person, like, I don't go to big conferences. I've gone to some of the smaller ones, especially when I lived in Minnesota, going to like the Desiring God conference or Bethlehem conference. It was pretty cheap to go there. But, you know, some of these other ones where they're like, you got to pay us $400 just to get your foot in the door. Then you got to pay for a hotel. You got to pay for all this different stuff. It becomes too much. But if you can find an affordable conference or maybe a big conference that's in your area that you could drive to, you know, like there's nothing wrong with it. You might be helped. Like it's a fun time. It's a good time for networking, first off, but also a good time for like listening to the preachers that you like, the teachers, and maybe going to a conference where you're actually going to learn something. Like if you're going to a conference about spiritual abuse. Let's say someone's putting on a conference and it's about spiritual abuse and you're very interested in that topic, you can go and, you know, learn something. There's nothing wrong with learning anything. Now, some of these bigger conferences, that's where you get into, like, how much are these speakers being paid? What's the venue? Is it worth it? Like, just as an organization, like, what are you trying to accomplish here? Is this about teaching people, or is this about making money? Like, I look at, like, the T4G guys. They never made money off of that conference. Now, TGC, on the other hand, that's getting started this week. Interesting. It's like conference season, I guess. But no, Seth, we're not going to have Underdog Theology Conference. Again, I don't know who we'd have. We'd have me, John, and Jeremy, which actually sounds awesome and a good excuse to get them to come up here. But what... I mean, like, we could do an online conference. You know what? I've made fun of that, but that actually sounds pretty fun. I will sit on that. Like, what if we did an online conference and we didn't charge anybody anything? I will think about that. That's not as outlandish as I first thought. Dean, next year, let's go to G3 together. That would be hilarious. No. One, it's $1,000. It's $1,000 for me to even consider going to a conference like that. Flights and everything, like, it's at least $1,000. I would much rather go on vacation with my family. But I have thought about it. I tweeted it. Wouldn't it be funny if I just sat in the back? Like, I have thought about that. Of like, what if I just went? What if I just went and sat in the back and just to see what would happen? Because all those people know me. Not all. All right, that's prideful. But like a lot of the speakers, like Josh knows me. like some of these people, they know who I am because of the videos that I've made. And so it'd just be kind of funny to just go and just quietly sit in the back and write notes. Maybe like take my iPhone. And even though I'm not recording, just hold it up just to see, you know, how people would react. Thanks, Jer. I appreciate it, man. I will sit with you. I'm sure there are good guys. I'm not saying everyone who goes to G3 is like fitting into the same camp. Sometimes you just want to go and hear Stephen Lawson preach. I get that. Although I will say, like, that guy with his Q&A, somebody's getting old. We'll start the GoFundMe now because it's $275 ahead for early bird cost. What conferences be crazy, yo? And Jehuda, Operation Underground Theology, rescuing people from fun slavery, has a nice ring, don't you think? Yeah. Probably not going to happen. David says, that's crazy. These conferences are the new Christian scam. People in the States are doing them at the local to national level. They're mostly echo chambers for ideology. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They are echo chambers. Like, no one goes to conference to, like, be persuaded of something. Like, maybe to learn about a topic. But those are usually, like, the small conferences. The big conferences, it's all about your celebrity crush, you know, like just being like, oh, it's Owen Strahan, you know, like he's right there. Oh, let me get that right. He's right there. Like, it's, oh, the comment was in the way. No one got my joke. Also, hit the like button, guys. We got 51 people here and we got 14 likes. So thanks. Winsome says, if you held your phone up like that, Dean, I'm sure Josh Bice would personally come and confiscate it, no doubt explaining there are children in attendance. Probably, but they have no problem live streaming everything. Now, let's talk about the live stream. Let's talk about the live stream because, oh man, I got to say, I had some fun. I had some fun looking at this live stream. You know, we've applauded G3. Like, they did a good job. Good job, G3. You know, way to just be Christian. But they also had some interesting developments. So we're seeing, like, all right, obviously John MacArthur's ancient. And they're already talking about the next successor, which, you know, of course, isn't actually a person. It's the plurality of elders. Okay, we get it. And John Piper is already basically out. As far as his ministries go, Tim Keller having passed away, R.C. Sproul having passed away. We're looking for like that next wave of teachers, and who are they going to be? Well, G3 really wants to be like that big flagship. They really do. And so they are trying some things. They are trying to do some things that I think are interesting. Let's watch a few things.
Us is consistently deforming our walk with Christ, our worship of God.
Nope.
Culture around us is consistently deforming our walk with Christ, our worship of God, and our witness of the gospel. This deformation comes through entertainment, politics, secular education, and so on. The call for the church is reformation.
G3 plus. Oh, sorry guys. I know I have the weirdest sense of humor, but this kind of stuff just makes me so happy. It's just so funny to me. Like the way the people have to try, like, how do we sell this of making money off of our videos and our blogs and our books? And we want to have something like Disney Plus. We want to have something like, I remember back in the day, I watch a lot of movie stuff, always have. So back in the day, there was Screen Junkies Plus, which is a YouTube channel. Let me know in the chat. Were you like, I was big into Screen Junkies back in the day. But everybody tries to do their own platform. Moscow has it. They have Canon Press Plus. I don't know. Canon something. Something about a Canon. But like to be like, oh, you know, like we need reformation. We need G3 plus. like this is going to be it, guys. We found it. We've been looking for so long. How in the world are we as Christians going to live in 2023 and be able to face these circumstances? Well, we found it. It's this. It's the subscription for G3. Oh, nope. Now you can say like, hey, you know, like we just want to offer you guys more resources and, you know, we want to add some things and that requires finances. I think that's such a better way to describe something than trying to sell people with this garbage of just like, oh, the world's out of control. The church, we've lost all direction. It's up to us. G3 plus. Like for 5 easy payments, you know. Oh man. And you know, you are 100% right, Michael. That logo is just straight up trash. All right. Like what they need to do is go and like have that conversation with the Canon press guy and sway him out of those like Federal Vision weirdo ways and get him to like come over to their team because like they need help. They need help. This logo is one of the worst. Like at least with Masters and like Grace Community Church and John MacArthur stuff, it's the shepherd's crook thing. Like that's awesome. And like the way that they do even several of those for different logos, it's good. It's a good logo. G3, come on. Come on, you could do better. Maybe if they get the finances for G3 Plus, they'll actually be able to put money in the logo. Just saying. I'm being mean at this point, but I'm having fun. Oh, and just in case, let me take this. Guys, look, this is the resources you'll be able to get with G3 Plus. Things like Heart Cry, which is Paul Washer's stuff. Media Gratia, which a lot of people love. I liked some of their stuff back in the day, their documentaries of Logic on Fire, I think was Media Gratia. And I think also the Spurgeon one was also them. Justin Peters Ministries. Ooh, you're going to get more of his YouTube videos. And Just Thinking Podcasts. Ooh, you'll get even more. And then ACBC. So if you were thinking like, oh, like these are going to be really helpful things, you got ACBC in there. People know what I think about their philosophy of counseling. Jeremy's having fun today. Dean, John and I agreed for this Christmas we were going to get you a subscription to G3 for 2024. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be super great. I would love it. Hey, you know what? You guys want to give me more content to make videos about? Sure. Like I'll take it. This is so weird to me. You can watch Doug Lemons. All the books. This is, wait for it. Wait for it, guys. It's even better. Oh, look at all the iPhones. Here we go. Oh, where is it? Yes. Oh, the swivel. Oh, we're swiveling now.
All genuine reformation is found in the power of God.
None of these guys go to G3.
May God raise up an army of people who are
they're looking at Twitter.
Always reforming for the glory of God.
Oh, man. I know some people are going to get so mad at me for having so much fun with it, but I just think it's hilarious. Oh, man, so good. Like, that to me is like, this is sweet stuff, you know? Like, I just have so much fun. There's more.
God has revealed throughout his word a great
desire to
be
worshipped.
This is very quiet.
Is it quiet for you guys?
And a high regard for how he is to be worshipped. However, if you walk into a random selection of churches on a Sunday morning, there's no telling what their worship
might be too
will
quiet.
Be like. Many are driven
hear.
By pragmatism as they design their services around attracting the lost. Similarly, many churches are driven by an aesthetic that seeks to entertain those sitting in the pews. Then there are those who are falling prey to mysticism.
Well, I can barely hear this. I don't know if it looks like it's coming in a lot more for you guys than it is for me.
The sad reality is
I don't know
that
what
many
about.
Of our churches believe the right
But thing. Here we have Scott Annual, who's doing this. just odd lighting. They have video equipment. They just built like this new stadium. Or not stadium, this new studio. And like I don't know why you have to like go into this corner where obviously you are shining a heck of a ton of light over you into like this closet with books to do this. But anyways, they're selling, how to do worship, come for weekends, come for, you know, all this stuff. And we'll teach you how to do worship because no one else knows how to do worship. And so they basically just go through, you know, telling people like, oh, you'll come and we'll have like these, little sessions where we're going to teach you how to do worship and even a practice worship session. Oh, where you can practice how to do worship. Like, guys, if you're trying, it's worship. you don't have to practice worship. Like, I mean, like you can practice your guitars and different things. Make sure you know the songs that you're doing. But like this whole thing of like, we'll have a practice one. So you'll know how to, an example one where you'll know how to do worship. Like, come on. This is money. This is them. I'm sure like they don't think about it that way. I'm sure they're thinking like, we just want to be a help. We just want to be a blessing to people, but this is money. Like, this is just like, oh, we got curriculums. We're going to put out curriculums. We can do one about worship. Biblical worship workshops, because they already do like the preaching ones. It's cringy to me. It's cringy. Now, what's even more cringy is some of the commercials that they use. All right, let's just watch this. This one is just interesting.
Hi, I'm from Child Protective Services. We're here to investigate a report made against you about the parenting of your children.
Did you know that according to the American Journal of Public Health, 37% of children will be involved with a Child Protective Services investigation by the time they turn 18? Also, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services found that in just 1 year, more than one out of every 22 children in the U.S. were part of a CPS investigation. And most investigations were of innocent parents. Over 83% of these children were determined not to be victims of child abuse or neglect. Yet, even for innocent families, these investigations are traumatic.
One thing I will say, whoever is designing this stuff, That does not look like a family that I think that G3 would actually be pushing of, like, this is what it looks like to be a biblical family, because of just the shapes of certain people there. All right, anyways, basically they're just fear-mongering here, and this is an insurance company that's saying, like, hey, or a legal defense team, we have a thing, because we all know Christians, like, the government is just trying to take your kids. It's just trying to take your kids, and you don't want them to take your kids, so pay us money in case that were to happen. Well, one, that's just fear-mongering. One, it's just needless contention with the government. The government doesn't want to take your kids. You realize how much of a burden that is on, like, government systems, how much money goes into taking kids away from their family and feeding them and taking care of them. It's not something that the government actually wants to do. But also, just like they go like, oh, usually it's not real. It's determined not to be victims of child abuse or neglect. Like, so you're saying, like, this isn't a problem, but, you know, aren't you scared by the fact that it could be a problem? Like, also, like, then never do they go into, like, they're looking at like this neighbor. And, like, how dare she?
Fakes and false reports from disgruntled friends, family, neighbors, and others who disagree with your parenting decisions. So what do you do if they come to your door?
How dare they, like, call Child Protection Services? This is such a problem that we're facing as Christians. Why are you having Child Protective Services called on you? Like, could it be that there might actually be a problem? Like, if you're having this kind of a problem where you need to have, like, a legal defense system, like, or a defense team, like, always prepared and just a call away in case you get called by Child Protective Services, then you're probably not the best parent. Like, it's just so weird, and it's so fear-mongering, and it's something that G3 put into these commercials, and I'm sure that they had, like, an approval system of, like, who they were going to have. And they also have some other ones.
Why do schools choose BJU Press? For the teachers who want to do more than just deliver information to their students. For the students who want to connect what they learn to what they believe. For King the James. Parents who want their children to think both critically and Christianly about all of life. For such a time as this. With more families than ever seeking out Christian education instead of contemporary secular schooling, the opportunity to impact the next generation has never been greater. They desire an educational experience that delivers an honest, non-revisionist view of history and biblical truth in science and in every other subject area. BJU Press equips schools all over the country with educational resources that excel with standards-based academic rigor and with a correspondingly deep biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. BJU Press believes that, in reality, one can't exist without the other. With a complete line of textbooks and resources for K-4 through 12th grade, BJU Press provides a wide range of educational resources for in-person or distance learning, and technologically convenient options for any and all school settings. Our commitment to...
So, you just think about it. Bob Jones is, like, one of the biggest fundy schools out there. And fundy. I remember I had a friend. I won't say who my friend was. He or she would get in trouble because she wasn't wearing, or he or she wasn't wearing a skirt and driving me and Heather across campus. We're like around that area. And he or she was going there. And so she was wearing pants, but she had to, like, put a skirt on top of her just in case someone were to stop us while we're driving across campus, because she would have gotten in huge trouble if she wasn't, he or she wasn't wearing a skirt. So it's just like, that school is crazy. It's one of the most fundamentalist schools around, biggest one. And, like, for them to be like, we're not fundamentalists, and then be like, Yeah, Bob Jones is actually like, and someone asked, like, are they getting a kickback from this? Yes, they are being paid. They are being paid to advertise. You know, these, like, there are even little podcasts that are like advertising with G3 here, but Bob Jones is advertising with them. They are getting paid from these companies and ministries and 501c3s. Like, they're getting paid for this stuff. But also the fact that Bob Jones is like, yeah, we need to go, you know, market with them. I think that shows you everything you need to know about whether G3 is a fundamentalist institution. And then they, like, I just think it's funny. Listen to the end.
And professional development and additional learning opportunities for educators and administrators. And with a biblical worldview at the center.
All right, look. Ooh, did you see it? Did you guys see it? He's on stage with an untucked shirt. Ooh, Bob Jones has really changed.
You at the center of all of our resources. BJU Press partners with schools who are ready to go beyond academics and holistically serve a generation of students. Your school is in your community for such a time as this. Your teachers are in your school for such a time as this. Your students need to be prepared for such a time as this. And BJU Press is ready to help your school succeed for such a time.
For such a time as this. We're all Esters! Like, come on. Again, like, there's such, like, a lot of this, like, these commercials, there's so much, like, fear attached to it. Like, that's how they're promoting their stuff, is just, like, scaring pew-sitting Christians. And being like, oh, like, the worst thing, CPS could come and take your family. Like, or like, oh, the world's so crazy. We're here for such a time as this. Like, this is why Bob Jones exists right now, is because we can make money with our stuff here. You know, like, they're just really trying. Here we go. Prepare yourself. We're not doing like Fundyville today. I feel like this whole episode is Fundyville. Just a sec. Where is that? He's having fun. They're having fun upstairs. This one's gonna be good. All right, you ready? You ready for this? Are you paying attention? Here we go.
If you will stand with me and let us respond together in song once again. Let's join our tongues together as we sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing."
What? What did he say?
Let's join our tongues together as we sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing."
You know how they're like, oh, we want to do worship workshops? I think they need to do some of those workshops. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, you know, like, it's... you know, everyone makes mistakes. I get it. And you're nervous because you're in front of a lot of people. But
let's join our tongues together as we sing, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing."
I was watching it with my son, and like he was sitting next to me. He's doing some editing on his iPad, and like he's trying to make some stuff. He's learning about some of this stuff, and and we both started laughing. He's like, "Did he really say that, Daddy?" Yep. Oh man. Oh, just thanks, G3. You know, it was a rough week last week, and I really needed this.
You will stand with me and let us respond together in song once again. Let's join our tongues together as we sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
Oh, man. I might clip this out. I might clip this out. Oh, it's just so good. So good. Yeah, David. Again, everyone makes mistakes, but we can laugh about how funny this one was. Oh, man. And, you know, like, I'm sure that they, like, kind of giggle about, like, at the big mega churches with, like, the rock music and stuff that they're all against. Like, they're always laughing about, you know, something that the worship pastor will say when they go up, because they all give, like, their mini sermons, you know, in between songs. And sometimes that's that can get ridiculous. I don't know if I've ever heard one go this bad before.
Let's join our tongues together as we sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
I know I'm an infant, but I just think it's the funniest thing. Oh, it's too funny. It's too funny. I need to save this. This is going to be that thing that I pull out on a rainy day when everything has gone bad. I could always just still have this.
Let's join our tongues together as we sing, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
Oh, thank you, G3. I really appreciate it. let's see. Was there anything else? Oh, yeah. We got two more clips.
That is the most common question that we get at Grace to You as well. And it's not an easy one to answer always. It depends on the area people live in, but there are lots of places across the country that really there's not a decent church in driving distance. And
what is this?
There are a couple of things you can do about that. One is, if you're spiritually mature and pretty solid in your own doctrinal understanding, find some like-minded people and organize a church plant. Most seminaries will send graduates to plant churches in needy areas. I know the Master's Seminary does that all the time. And by the way, the Master's Seminary also has a website.
He had it again.
you can look at the map, and it has little pins.
I'm sorry. I've met Phil Johnson. He seems like a really nice guy. what is this mic technique? like I think he's trying to use it like pointing at things. But like, I was like watching this, and I was like, is he just going to keep his pinky out like that? And then he just does it. It's just his thing. It's a very odd thing, but that's my humor. Okay. And let's hear, you ever want to hear Vodi Bakum do like a raunchy joke from the pulpit? No, neither did I, but here we are.
With the results, apparently got together and had a he-man, woman-hater, caveman club meeting that went something like this. Men, we're not oppressing them enough. But I've come up with a way that we can oppress women even more.
Oh.
Tell us your idea. We should invent an institution whereby, instead of us just going and taking any of them that we want, we limit ourselves to just one. Wait, and be responsible for her and her offspring. That'll show them. That's the dumbest thing in the world. If we know anything about marriage, it's that men didn't invent it. Amen, somebody.
What? So, because men just want to go out and have their way. And I guess that's an offense of marriage? Like, I get, like, he's trying to be like, you know, if men had it their way, if it was something contrived by men, like, it wouldn't be like this. But it's also just like, what are you saying about, like, you? That's a little weird to be talking about how, you know, if we men didn't have this ring on, you know, like, what? Odd. But you know what? That's G3 for you. That's just what it is. Oh, I'm going to clip that thing out. Let's join our tongues together. You know you're in a Christian bubble when. Like, you don't think through these things. Spanky Dave. Okay. I'm going to call you Dave. Dean, are you really saying that G3 is mostly about making money? I'm not saying that. I am saying that they are about making money. I'm not saying that they're only about making money, but it's very clear from everything that they're trying to do right now that they are trying to become TGC. They're trying to get to that level. And it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, as long as you're putting out valuable content in order for that to, you know, happen. I think TGC did that for years and years and years. They continue to give out valuable content, whether you like it or not. A lot of people found it beneficial, and so people came to their conferences, and they got more money, and they got more books for Crossway and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And G3, to this point, I don't think it's been as valuable. And especially with what they're doing, like G3 Plus, I'm not going to subscribe. That's the way I'll put it. All right, guys, I think I have it in here. Let's go to the penalty box.
You want to see a penalty? I'll show you a real penalty. Get out of my face, man.
I'm pretty sure I still have this in here from last week. We'll see.
2-minute minor trip, and there's a call.
All right, so this is a comment that I got from Why I Don't Watch The Chosen. So you guys know what's going to happen. This is from Terry. So I'm assuming that's John. No, I won't get in there. It's about saving souls. But it doesn't look like you have any motivation to read the Bible, much less any book, and study to have the knowledge and wisdom have mercy on you and all those putting down the Christian movement. I don't know so much about the Christian movement. I could tell you about the Christian faith. And I've read some books. I might have even gone to college and maybe got 3 degrees on it. But, you know, if I don't like The Chosen, all those degrees straight in the garbage. Okay.
There's the whistle. There's no excuse there. He knows that whistle's been blown.
So this is from Talk the Wise for the Please Stop Listening to Francis Chan video, which continues to get views like crazy. I really wish it didn't. But oh well. Built on the backs of peasants who died, because that's something I said. A lot of people, like, they look at the beautiful cathedrals over in Europe and they see them and they're like, oh man, the Roman Catholic Church has such beautiful architecture. And they don't think about how many people were swindled out of their faith or decided to give their money to the church instead of, you know, paying for their food, and how many peasants died over trying to get that building made. Built on the backs of peasants who died. Yes, peasants who collectively gathered their wealth to afford something that individually none of them would see in their lives, all for the glory of God. Peasants who otherwise would have died constructing a castle because those were their options. They came to him someday. They gathered all the peasants around. And they're just like, all right, peasants, Bill, you paying attention? Pay attention, Bill. All right, we got all you guys together, and we need to know. Do you guys want to build a cathedral, or do you want to build a castle? The castle is just for Lord Fartquad over there. And this one, the cathedral, though, that's for God. Which one, Bill? Okay. All right, we're going with the cathedral. Castle or keep some for some noble or lord, or simply died as foot soldiers fighting for lines on a map. Not everyone existed in the feudal system. It's just history. There were free people. I know that's shocking. But the people had decisions to make. Peasants who gave their blood, sweat, and tears to build something that not only would others be able to enjoy the fruits of, but generations beyond would as well. It's called mortification, brother. That's not what mortification is about. Something you ought to learn. Ooh, so harsh. Yeah, I still stand by that the Roman Catholic Church is the most oppressive system that has existed in history. Could you name something that lasted longer and was more oppressive? I can't. So there's that, but also they controlled everyone and said, hey, you're going to build this, and if you don't, we're going to send your loved ones to hell. They have to stay in purgatory, and they might not win there. So you do the math. All right.
2 minutes for slashing and 2 minutes for roughing.
All right, we got a twofer. So this is first on Apologia Radio's embarrassing critique of Theocast. And the reason why I put embarrassing critique, some people get confused because they changed their title. I didn't change my title so that I can say that's what their title was for Theocast, embarrassing critique of Theocast. Celtab 101 says, bro, move your radar from the brothers to the unsaved. You could use your energies to better serve Christ with all your heart, soul, and mind. Okay, well, tell that to Paul, too, because I'm not saying I am Paul, but if I have that problem, then Paul also had that problem, because he also called out people, and apparently he should have just been focused on the unsaved. Also, how do you know I'm not? Like, you see, like, you probably watched these two videos, and then you were out. So maybe 2 hours of content. Do you know what I'm doing all the other times? Truth about Dale Partridge. Again, we need more men. We need more men trying to spread the gospel rather than bashing other brothers in Christ. Rather, that's a lot of rathers. Is Dan Rather in here too? Rather, that's calling yourself a reformer or not. I don't believe Dale is placing himself above the church, but rather emboldening it. We need more Dale Partridges. If only we had more Dale Partridges, then we wouldn't have this woke problem with all these weak men, these soft men, and Owen Strands, and we'd be able to rule the world because we got the seven doctrines to rule the world. No, thanks. Bye. That's it. That's the show today, guys. I hope you had fun. We walked, you know, in homage to a fallen podcast, a podcast I listened to, they decided to record their last one. And in homage to them, I'll say we walked to and fro. We walked to and fro in the G3 conversation. We've had our fun. We were told to unite our tongues. We did not. We were told to unite our tongues. We didn't. And we had fun. We had some laughs. We also saw some concerns with what's going on with G3 and the Doug Wilson camp. And now we have come to an end. This is the end of the show. Thank you for watching. Thank you for, you know, hanging out with me. 52 of you. I want to thank half of you for liking this. The other half, you're dead to me. I'm just kidding. But seriously, hit the like button on your way out, because then that means that more people will come and hang out. That's what it is. You guys want more people to hang out in the chat? Got to hit the like button so this video can go out more and bring more people in. We could have more people hanging out. And yeah, some of them probably aren't going to be great. Some of those people are going to be like, why the heck are you talking about tongues so much? You know, like, maybe that's going to happen. But you know what? There are going to be some cool people too. So hit the like button. I'll see you in the next one. Bye.